Facebook, and St. Timothy MB Church, Straight Gate Ministries. Amen. I am Pastor Landis Fisher, and I'm blessed to be here with you today. It is a great blessing to come before you at this time to share in God's Word, and we pray that you are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. So without any further delay, we're going to go right ahead. We have a good word from the Lord today, but we're thankful that you have come to worship with us today, and to above all, to study and to learn. The scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this speaks to the way it is many times today. We hear so many things that are not rightly divided, so we want to make sure we understand the word well enough so that we can do what the scripture teaches, which is to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. And, a lot of people use God's word and twist it and make it say things it's not really trying to say. And we'll talk about that as we get into this. We have a good message today. And I want to go on the line here on the record first up to say happy birthday to Mother Ernestine from yesterday. And happy birthday today to John G. And I'm sure there are probably thousands of you out there whose birthdays are today and yesterday. But whenever they are, I know that we greet you a happy birthday. And we thank God for you being here with us and being our friend, either in the world or on Facebook, however it is. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead and have a word of prayer. And we thank God for this time that we have together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we praise your name today, Father. We exalt you. We bless you. We thank you, Father, for all that you have already done. Lord God, and we thank you for every promise that you have made that you will do. And Father, we thank you for the security of your word, Lord God, that you have given. And Father, we just thank you for the activity of our limbs and the health and every good thing that you provide. Father, we thank you for shelter and clothing and everything, Lord God, because you are awesome. You are the supplier of all things. And so, Father, we just thank you for the abundance of the creation that you have put into our trust, Lord God. And we just ask that you forgive us of every sin, Lord God, past, present, and future. We thank you for the ability that you have shown that you will forgive those who sin against you, that you will not hold them accountable if they confess their sin. That you say that they will be, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we live in an age where pride has elevated people to a place where they don't want to mention sin. But we know that we have all sinned and come short of your glory. So today, Lord God, we ask you forgive us for the multitude of our transgressions. We even ask that you forgive us for the ignorance that we may have about sin, because there's sometimes we don't even know that a thing is sin because we haven't studied your word enough to really get a grip on it. And so today, Father, we confess everything. Father, we ask you to forgive us. We know that you are plenteous in mercy and quick to forgive those who ask. And so, Father, we come in that manner, O God, humbling ourselves at your throne. For you are mighty and great and awesome, and we just thank you for that privilege. And we thank you we can discern that in your word. Father, we ask you to prepare us today. Lord, we want you to look over the people who are in grief right now for any reason. They need your help, Lord, and only you can supply what they need at this difficult time. So bless them today. And Father, we be with us today as we explore your word. Father, take our minds into a new dimension that we have never gone into before, because only you can do that and give sight to blind eyes, Lord God. So we ask you today, open up our spiritual sight, Lord, that we might be able to see glorious things from your word. And we'll be careful to give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory to you and to your Son, your risen Son, Jesus the Messiah, around whom you have configured this world. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. And the whole congregation said, amen. Go ahead and give him your best praise. Hallelujah. We do have a good subject matter today. I want to talk with you just for the next few minutes about being citizens of heaven. Amen. Citizens of heaven. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? Those of you who believe, you probably think of it quite often. But the fact is, the scripture teaches that those who are the children of God are citizens of heaven. But yet we occupy this earth, this world right here that God has given us. And we need to look at how our mindset should be based on the fact that we're not only children of the earth with a natural body, a natural mind, and experience natural things in the world, but we're also those of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, have become citizens of heaven. And as we always mention, and I like to draw a clear line because I want you to know, if you're not a citizen of heaven, it's not God's fault, because God has made a provision for you to be a citizen of heaven. And he wants you to get out of the natural earth realm mindset. And that is a mindset, and we've been talking about that for the past several lessons, that depends on where your mind is set on what kingdom you belong in. And the kingdom of this earth, God has allowed it to be the way it is, but he would like everyone to know the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And it's free from a lot of things. We don't have time to really dip into that pot today. But we want to say that God wants you to be a citizen of heaven. And how do you make that transition from being merely an earthly creature, earthbound with all earthly pursuits and all that, absorbing everything about who you are, and sometimes all the trouble and the anxieties and the pressures that come to you as a result of just being earthbound? And I realize this is the only place we have to exist. And although we have scientists telling us they're going to go out and explore and send folks to Mars and all that, you know what, I think I'll keep Earth myself between you and I. But I want to say this, that in order not just to be hung up in the realm of the earthly and the physical, God has made it possible for me and you, and whoever believes, he is no respecter of persons. Nobody has a greater advantage with God than anyone else, no matter what they think or what the world says or how many of them may be opposing the fact that God has made all things available for all men and women, boys and girls, to believe in him and become a citizen of heaven. And so we want you to understand how that works. As we always mention, and as I started to say, and then I digress for a minute, there are really only two families. And either you're in the family of God or you're in the kingdom of men. And God wants you to be in the family of God. And when you are, you become a citizen of heaven. Amen. He's made it easy for you. Now, it's a very difficult thing. And it's extremely deep. It's extremely rich. It's extremely captivating because it amazes me. It's amazing that God Almighty, who made everything, the heavens, earth, and all that in them is, became flesh and gave up a sacrifice of his own self, his own son, Jesus, the only begotten son of God, around whom the whole world is configured. And he allowed him to come into the world to give us a glimpse of glory of what he provides for everyone who believes in him, and to show his great love, how much he loves you. He gave his son, Jesus, the Christ, so that you and I know that he loves us. That's why one of the most popular verses in all of the Bible is John 3:16, that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Keep that whosoever in mind just for a minute before we dig into our text here today. Whosoever is a non-prejudiced, non-racial, non-divisive word. It's an all-inclusive word. It includes every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And it's given out by God, who loves everyone. And he commanded the church to go and preach the gospel, which is the good news that he loves all of you. Doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin is. Doesn't make any difference what political persuasion you may be of, politics and all that. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's some of the most divisive stuff that goes on earth. And all the prejudice and racial stuff is really way off the chart, because God loves everyone equally. And he wants all people everywhere from around the globe to hear the good news that I've given my son, so that whosoever, that word whosoever, encompasses every living soul on the planet. It is not prejudice. It is not one-sided. It's totally monumental, and it includes the entire human family. So if you're not in God's family, he wants you to be. No matter what language you speak, no matter where you were born on the planet, He is calling all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to repent. That means change your mind. Turn your direction from a worldly, normal, worldly man set on your mind where you're set on the things of man and the kingdoms of this world, and put your focus on Almighty God who has made all these things and given them to you and me to enjoy. See, he wants our mind to be focused on him. And so he has made it possible. Why? Because you know what? All have sinned, the scripture says, and come short of the glory of God. That means we have all missed the mark. And you know what? The truth of the matter is we do it quite frequently. Sometimes knowingly we do it, and we know that there's something we've done, and we know it's not right according to God's word. Sometimes it's out of ignorance. We don't know that we're doing wrong. And many of the people who break God's law are folks who don't even really know that they're doing it. So it's sometimes they're willfully doing it, and other times they're doing it without knowledge. But either way, we all have sinned, and God has given one solution, and he wants all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to receive that fix that he has given to the whole world, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of his own son, Jesus the Christ, in order that he might accept you into his family as citizens of heaven. Amen. So we hope that you will think about that as we talk about these verses that are coming up. That means that you and me and all the people who believe in him become a family, a unique family, and that makes up one of the two families that exist, the ones who believe God and or their faith is accounted to them for righteousness, and the ones who don't believe God. They're only two families. So the devil would like to confuse you with denominations, with colors and races and all of that, but even with politics and whatever I can divide you on, I'll divide you. That's how the enemy does in the world. He wants to make division and create separation and confusion, while on the other hand, God, who is love and who is the rightful owner of heaven and earth and the maker of all things in the heavens and the earth, he wants to bring you together and unite you because he loves you just like you are. And he allowed you to be here so that he could bless you with his love, his mercy, and his grace. And so let's talk about this a little. What about this thing about citizens of heaven? I'm just going to share a couple of things with you. I've learned that one of the very best things that ever happened to improve my state of mind about the way things are in the world is reading the Bible for myself for many reasons, which have changed my life greatly for the better. I want you to know if you get into God's word and his word gets into you, it will make you a better man or better woman than you've ever been. And it's the most powerful thing that exists in the universe is the word of God. Why? Because the scripture says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. And just a footnote at this point I want to insert. If you don't have my notes, you can get them on our website at teachingbible.org, one long word, teachingbible.org. And some of them we posted here on Facebook, but they're always available 24 hours a day from anywhere on the planet. And you can access our notes, and that will help you to refresh your mind and if you want to go back later and study a little bit more in detail. So reading the Holy Bible, however, gives us an accurate view of how things are and shows us that God has revealed the fact that he has always retained his love and provision, just as he always has, no matter what kind of people you are. See, that doesn't make any difference. What kind of people we are, God will accept you. And that's the good news. That's the reason why we call it gospel. It's good news that no matter what you're involved in, whatever may be bogging you down, whatever you might be struggling with in life, whatever kind of things you may be going through, God is for you. He is not against you. And he knows everything about you, and he loves you still in any way, no matter what you've been going through. And he can turn your life around. So this is why the church is the most inclusive organization on earth. If it's the actual church that's preaching the actual good news, no matter what you are doing, God loves you and he has given his son. And he would like you to be a citizen of heaven and not a citizen of earth. That means set your mind on things above, like Paul told the Colossians, and not on things on the earth. And he says it this way, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we come into death, which is the penalty for sin. God promised at the very beginning to the very first human parents that the day you sin, you will surely die. And death has been present ever since, and that's something we know about. and we experience, and it's one of the most awful things that we experience in life. But God loves us is the great news. It balances the whole thing. And this is why we want you to understand these things. Let's take a look at a verse in the scriptures. Psalms number 24 reads like this, the first few verses. This will be the King James translation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? See that? He's asking, who shall ascend to go up into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. O God of Jacob, he is the God of Jacob, the one who crafted the covenant people from out of the Gentiles through Abraham, the father of the Jews. And he did all of this to separate a people for his own possession so that he could show his love when the fullness of time was come by the giving of his own son, Jesus, who was from the lineage of Abraham through the Davidic kingdom all the way on up till he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, according to the law and the prophets. So God gave his son Jesus, and he has configured the world around him so that me and you and whosoever, we love that word, whosoever, that means whoever you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how grievous it may be, God loves you and he has given his son, and he showed through Jesus that he has defeated death in the grave. So that's the most important and spectacular thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, is that death has been swallowed up in victory. And I'm going to speak for myself, and you may agree with me. Death is the most horrible thing that we have to deal with in life. It's the most painful thing that you and I have to deal with in life. And God has dealt with it already so that we don't have to be overly grieved, because if we are not just a citizen of the earth with no knowledge or protection from God, then we are citizens of heaven, and God has covered us, even for the worst thing that can possibly happen in this life to you and me. And so that's why we want you to consider being a citizen of heaven. Now, you notice I keep saying consider, and I keep offering it to you because it's something you have to do to receive what God has already done for you. God has loved you. He's given his son, who came into the world, lived perfectly, and satisfied him by his own life, his entire life from the womb on up until he was crucified on the cross on Calvary. You've heard about the crucifixion. You know, I remember a time, and I'm going to digress for a minute here, where somebody told me about the crucifixion. It was hard for me to wrap my mind around, why would God's son be crucified? Well, that's a hard one to really digest. Until you get in the Word and you understand that what he was doing was receiving a penalty of death, taking it to himself, in order that he who knew no sin, which is Jesus, the only one who never sinned, never transgressed against God his Father, took our sin in his own body and offered himself as a sacrifice that satisfied God. So that whoever, that's why he can say whosoever, believes in him will not perish. Why? Because Jesus pays the bill when he's crucified on the cross. It was not a martyr dying there for our sin. It was like God the Son taking the weight of all our sin, the guilt of all of our shame, the disgrace of all of our evil acts upon himself, where he was forsaken by his own Father and allowed to hang there between heaven and earth as the perfect mediator for all the sin of the world, so he could receive a penalty from God, so that whoever, no matter who you are, if you trust Christ, you can be assured that God will accept you. He has made the proclamation, and you and I who are a part of the church get the privilege to go into the world and spread that gospel, which is good news. That whoever you are, God has made a fix for the problem of sin and therefore also covered you for the problem of death. You don't have to worry about death. Death will surely come if we keep living and he doesn't return. But the fact is, the citizens of heaven are covered and we don't ever have to worry about it. So it's a different experience going through the problem of death for people who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven than it is for people who have no hope. and don't know who God is and what he has done and don't realize his love and what he has provided. And this is why God made the death of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, his whole life is the focal point of the scriptures and is also the center of human timekeeping. We keep time based on Christ when he came. And right now it's 2020 A.D. Anno Domini is A.N.D. That means the year of our Lord. I'm surprised how many people I've polled on that tell me they think A.D. means after death. And that's not correct. Look it up. Check it out. You'll find out it means Anno Domini, which are two Latin terms. It means the year of our Lord. And so it's the year of our Lord that separates all of human time. And every clock that's ticking ticks off seconds based on the first advent of Christ. So God wanted Jesus to be that important in my life and yours so that we have reason to look into who is Jesus. What did he do for me? What does he provide? What was his promise? And we can see that when we read the scripture, we find out that he died to pay the debt for my sin and yours entirely. And he is the only one, only human being since the first Adam who ever satisfied God the Father, who requires complete, perfect, flawless righteousness and holiness. No one else has that. Doesn't make any difference how many titles we give ourselves here on earth. We have a lot of people call themselves by some pretty fancy names. You know what? I think being pastor is a humbling word to me. Just simply to be a pastor is a very humbling thing because I'm not anyone great, but he is. He is the most excellent. And so therefore, you and I become citizens of heaven through God's grace by faith in his only son. And he is the only one that can give you hope to get you past the whole deal with the fear of death and all of that. So we see that God owns everything as we examine Psalms 24 and many other places. And it is the generation of those who seek his face. In other words, we want to be in the presence of God. We want to know about him. We want to study him even more and get closer to him because he has loved us. And he's done something for the whole world that we could never, ever do for ourselves when he gave Christ Jesus, his son, to pay the bill for all of our sins. And the good news, one more time, just to make sure you didn't miss it, if you believe him, that's what he requires for you to enter into the status of being a citizen of heaven. He requires that you trust in his son and believe that he has raised him from the dead. And the Bible promises that you shall be saved. See, a lot of people get hung up because that sounds very simple, but it's really the deepest transaction you can ever make in all your life is to say, I want to change myself from being a simple son of the earth or daughter of the earth and become a son of God or a daughter of God, where now I am in the family of God by faith in the promise of God. See, God has promised it in his word. The word of God is indelible. It cannot be undone. It's indestructible, and it contains the deed and the information about the whole earth and the heavens, and it's been given to us, and it's one of the greatest gifts we've ever received, short of Christ himself, is the word of God and the promises of God. So God promises you. Now, a lot of people say, well, you tell that to people, and they're going to just cut loose and do anything. No, you're not. If you trust God and you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again, the Holy Spirit will be given to you, and he will lead you and guide you to all truth. And that is really the essence of death is when Adam sinned, God's spirit who was one with him, that he had breathed into his nostrils, departed. And that was the real death, was the absence of God, the Holy Spirit, being in him and being one with him. And that happened the moment Adam sinned, and every son of Adam and every daughter from that time on have been born in sin. So the release from that and the deliverance from that comes from Jesus, God's only son. That he's saying that he's called the last Adam. He came to declare righteousness and forgiveness to everyone who believes in him. And throughout the years, God began to give promises about how he would fix the problem. And you know, Adam and Eve didn't die instantly the moment that they sinned. They lived for hundreds of years after that in the flesh. And we've been talking about this on our Wednesday Bible study, so you may want to make a note. If you haven't been, follow us on Wednesday also. Because we're talking about the flesh and the spirit and how to understand the difference between the two. When you become a citizen of heaven, God, the spirit, moves back in and refills that emptiness that you have when you're not his child, when you're simply a child of the earth, and he will give you understanding. of his word. He will teach you how to walk by faith and not by sight. He will teach you what the word means. He will teach you how to apply it to your life. He will teach you how to overcome strongholds that have been in your life, things that you can't break free from. And he will constantly be with you to correct you, to lead you, to guide you, to comfort you, to teach you, to instruct you, to give you every goodness of God and everything that is in God's word. He will open it up for you and reveal it to you, and that's what you get when you are a citizen of heaven. Look at this now. You know, man, I put a chart up on our Facebook page on yesterday. Some of you may have seen it. If you didn't, you can look at it after the message. And it's showing how the controversies of the kingdoms have been going on all the way from thousands of years before Christ. Take a look at it. It's a very interesting chart. And what you find is that nations and kingdoms all are fighting and grappling over control of the earth and control of the world, control of the wealth, control of the skies. Now we got space wars going on and everything else. Not enough to fight down here over the natural resources that God has provided and all the wonderful things God has provided, which is the shame of it is when we do that, we end up with problems like starvation and we end up with crime and people hating each other and all of that because we're fighting for territory and the kingdoms want to go one against another and go head up and I need to be the big kahuna and we got to put our foot on your neck and press you down. And look at that chart. It'll blow your mind. And you'll see that kingdoms have always struggled all the way from the beginning. Even from the first two sons of Adam and Eve, there was war. Right there, one hated the other, and Cain hated Abel and put him to death, killed his own brother. And so we can see that's how it is to be a kingdom citizen of earth, you see, but not a citizen of heaven. Abel, the scripture says, was righteous because he believed God, and he offered God what God required. On the other hand, Cain hated him. He was a child of the earth. And he slew his own brother. Think about that. And that's the ugliness of death and hatred that comes out of people who do not believe God. So believing God is critical. It's the first point. It's the starting point in a relationship with God to be a citizen of heaven. You must believe God. One thing I love about the Bible, I love so many things, I can't really tell it all, especially not in a few minutes. But let me say one thing I love about it is that you get in it, it's alive. It's Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive, it's active, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it begins to teach you and break up your understanding about things that are worldly, fleshly, things that hurt and harm people, and it opens up your mind and your life to see lovely things and the goodness and the good side of life, which is many times is obscured by the darkness of the fallen world. And so the scripture becomes a light to your feet and a lamp to your path, like David the psalmist said, and it opens up a new dimension of how you view everything in your life. You really got to get into the word. If you really want to feel better about everything and understand everything the way it really is, that's what the word of God does for you. It will open up your mind and give you an assurance that you have never had before. This is a couple of things I wanted to share with you about how the world will eventually, everyone will understand that God is true and he has told the truth the whole time. And it's been in your life every day, every second you've been in the world. But we many times deny it. We got the devil trying to confuse us. He's so confused, he can probably tell you a million things and none of them are true. It's amazing. But we rather believe a liar and a murderer, who Jesus said the devil is, from the beginning, than to believe the true and only living God, who loved you so much he gave his son and died for your sins on the tree and got out of the grave to show you I'm the only one with the fix to the problem of death. Nobody else can fix it, but I've already done that and I did it for you so that you could love me and trust me. Habakkuk 2:14 says this, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Look at that. How do the waters cover the sea? Thoroughly and completely. There's way more water on the earth than there is earth. The mass of earth is only about 30%. The rest is water. So the scripture says that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. See, so that's where things are heading, and I want to be in that number, and I want to get in with that group. And I know that I can get in because God has already paid my ticket. He's paid yours too if you believe in the Son. Repeating also here Isaiah 2, the word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. See that? There's always an inclusiveness in the word of God of all nations. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. You know where prejudice comes from? An earthly mindset. That's why I told you people who hate each other because of the color of their skin, because of their political persuasion, whatever the differences are between people, are people who are not thinking with a heavenly mindset. These are people who have gotten stuck into an earthly mindset, and we want to think we're big and bad, and you're not, and I'm higher than you, and you're not, and all of that is the product of a fallen society, people who do not know God. No matter what they say, their behavior pulls the cover off of the fact that you're following the devil who is trying to divide the world and treat people, you know, in a way that's not as God has described. And so you and I, when we become citizens of heaven, the veneer of that ugliness is peeled back so that we can see that we're no better than anyone else. And there's no big I's and little U's. There were kings who did not believe God, and there were kings who did. There were paupers who did not believe God, and paupers who did. And all the ones who believe God are the ones who become citizens of heaven. And it doesn't make a difference. Now, one thing this does, and I want to say this, getting back to Isaiah, he says that many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us, see that, of his ways, and we will learn, we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God is still going to be teaching, even when he returns, and that time is coming soon, we'll still be learning from God. There's so many things that we have not known, but God knows what we know and what we don't. It's amazing to me. That's why the Great Commission is when Jesus had gotten out of the grave, Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Teaching is such a critical thing. You and I need to be taught the ways of God, the understanding of the Bible. And God has an inconclusive, complete work in the Bible that we will be discovering throughout the rest of our days and even into eternity, as it says here in Isaiah 2. He says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations. Notice all the nations are included. And he shall rebuke many people. That means he's going to straighten some folks out who've been wrong. And then this is the result. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. See that? So people are making, who can make the biggest bomb? That's where we live now. Who can make the most destructive weapons? How can I make a weapon to destroy more people than you have so I can be bigger and badder than you? Look at that chart. You'll see what happens, the one I told you that's on our page. It's got how the fightings of the nations have been throughout the years. And it's still going on right now. It's no different. And so we're going to see that. There shall always be wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus said in Matthew 24. You know what? The people of God, you get to be a level above that. You're elevated above that kind of thinking. And when you get in that position as a citizen of heaven, this is one I think even the saints have a problem with, because I do too. And I'm going to confess to you today. Sometimes when you want to get in that realm where you know you're saved, people want to say, I'm saved, and they're not, and act like, you know, that they have something against folks who aren't saved. And the very opposite should be the way we are. I'm not against the ones who are not saved. I have to understand them because they are lost. See that? If they get saved, that's the best thing I can do for you is tell you the gospel so that you can be saved. And once you get saved, God will do the fixing. I can't fix you. Couldn't fix me. Couldn't fix my own family. Only one can fix you is God. See? So I don't want to become judgmental now because I'm a citizen of heaven and look down on people who are not. Because God loves them and he has made a way for them too. So you and I need to start thinking like God, get a God-like mindset that I'm reaching out. He so loved the world. You know what? I need to get so I so love the world that I'm willing to be sacrificial in what I do as I reach out and tell people the good news, as I understand them where they are. God didn't force me to come into the kingdom. You know what? But he did call me into the kingdom, just like I'm telling you now. If you're not in the kingdom and you don't know you're a child of God, I'm inviting you and persuading you to trust Christ and believe in God, and the Bible says you shall be saved. See? So it's that simple, and in the meantime, I'm going to try to understand you and get along with you the best I can, because I'm looking at it from the perspective of a citizen of heaven. The citizens of heaven get the privilege to share with the children of the world and of the flesh and of the devil the good news about God. So you and I have that privilege, so we need to also rise to that status that God has given. Think about it. Jesus could have destroyed everything and said, this is no good, let's just burn it up and be done with it. In fact, some of the disciples he was trying to say, Lord, if they don't receive you, let's just call fire down from heaven and burn them up, Lord. He said, no, that's not the spirit that we are of, Jesus told them. And they were called sons of thunder. That's another story for another day. Because they didn't have the right attitude after they were being saved. They were walking with Christ, being disciples, and they said, if they don't believe, Lord, just burn them up. Well, that's not the attitude God wants us to have. Don't just burn them up. Understand they're already on the path of destruction. Show mercy, show grace, show kindness. Tell them the goodness of the Lord and model it before them so they can believe the gospel and be saved. So that's our great commission. So what I want you to see here today, and I hope you're getting a good thing out of this, since God allowed mankind to strive with each other for the sake of securing material things with no regard for the true owner, which is God, that's what man does. He goes about trying to stack it up for himself as much as I can get, more for my country, more for me, so on and so forth. Forget everybody else, whoever's got the most toys wins, who's ever got the biggest army and the most serious weapons can be in control and in charge. That's the way nations push together. So God has allowed that, but he allowed mankind to strive with each other throughout all this time. This is why we have all the confusion we have today. For the sake of securing material things with no regard for the true owner, which is God, he owns it all, who is also the creator and the sustainer of all things, those who believe in the true king, who he is, he always has been, and he doesn't fight to keep that position. He allows man to do what they do. In like manner, to learn to operate in his word, in his world, in accordance with the precepts of the unbelievers. In other words, if people don't believe, understand, that's their problem. They don't believe. And you and I should be able to see that. That's why Jesus said, do not cast your pearls before swine. If people don't believe and they're not receiving it, just shake the dust off your feet and move along. You can't make anyone believe. I can invite you to believe. I can ask you to believe. I can even command you to believe, and if you don't, then okay, that's between you and God. So I want you to believe. Why? Because he does. Look what he did when he offered his son in order for you to be able to be called a citizen of heaven. He loves you. He accepts you. So if you don't accept him, that's between you and him. And I'm going to move along because there's other people who will receive the good news. And so I don't want to be judgmental in that sense. So believe this now. He goes on to say that in like manner, learn to operate in this world in accordance with the precepts of the true king and with the precepts of unbelievers who have been granted temporary ownership of God's assets as he restores his kingdom to the citizens of heaven, who shall then serve him forevermore. You know what? Whatever people have, whatever they accumulate, Jesus put it this way, Matthew 16:26, what will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See that? A soul is worth more than the whole world. And this earth and its works, the Bible says, will be burned up. And then, so we don't need to worry about it so much, is the point. And that doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have things and possess things. He wants you to delight in him, he says, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So it's not about the stuff. God already gave the stuff to man. He did. And look at that. He made everything perfect as he did, and he gave it to Adam and said, have dominion over it. But that doesn't mean kick me out the door and you just do it yourself. Doesn't mean that. It means I'll be with you to enjoy the blessings and the wonderful stuff that I've made and given you. See, so we want to keep that straightened out. But you and I have to learn to adopt that mindset where we are not judgmental, but we just reach out and show God's love If it's not received, don't press the issue. Move along. See? And that will make us better evangelists, if you will. The term evangelist is a deliverer or the bringer of good news. See? We bring the good news, and it's up to God. If he selected you, you will receive the good news. You will be saved. If you reject it, then we'll move along. One plants and another waters, but God will have to give the increase. So let's look at one more passage here, because this is where things are going. We see where they are. Right now, there's turmoil, there's confusion, there's fighting, there's wars, there's sickness and disease, all of which are the byproducts of sin and fallenness. See, when God made everything, it was perfect. It was pristine. There was no sin, no disease, no death, no threats against the lives of human beings. See, but he made it to be a fruitful, beautiful thing. And you know what? It's going back to what God made, but it won't be with this earth. The scripture says this earth is destined for destruction. And this is the reason why. Because you know why? Sin corrupted the earth and the heavens, and they must now be destroyed in due time, and they shall be. God will roll them up like a scroll, it says in the book of Revelation. And then he will send down a new heaven and a new earth where your righteousness will dwell forever and ever. And there will never be another stain of sin, and there will be no death, no crying. The former things will have passed away. God says, behold, I create all things new. So that's where we're heading. So I want you to see another passage here, Revelation 21, to put a little clarity to that statement. It says here, Revelation 21 and 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea is the biggest thing on the earth. See? And God says there will be no more sea. Interesting. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. See? God wants to put it back the way it was when he made it. Me and you, Adam and Eve, gave him a wife, and God, that's a threefold cord. It's a beautiful thing. And everything was pristine and perfect, no sin. There was perfect fellowship between the man and his wife, and between God and the man and God and his wife. There was a beautiful thing there that God made, and it's beautiful that God has supplied that. And he's saying it's going back to that. And all the hate, hurt, and harm, and destruction, and lying, and grappling for territory, and scrapping around trying to get everything, and amass power for people oneself, that's coming to an end. And the true king, the original king, the Most High God, and the one who deserves it, who paid the bill for the sin that made the first earth and heavens an awful place, which it is, and it's getting worse, will sit on the throne. Jesus has risen to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will rule and reign forever and ever. Amen. And if you trust him, you can do it right now. Get on the right side of God. Become a citizen of heaven. Revelation 21, 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. See that? He's coming back to be with us again. And he will dwell with them and be, they will be his people. He shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See that? That's why it says in Mark 13:31, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. These words here go beyond when heaven and earth have been passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. See, saints of God, you need to understand, God said, it is done already. Jesus on the cross, when he had finished paying the bill for our sin, you know what he said? It is finished. Because he finished paying the bill that satisfied Almighty God for whoever believes in him. And now Almighty God, after time has elapsed, is sitting on the throne, and he says, it is done. It is done means everything that needed to happen from that fall of Adam clear on up to the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ, the Son, the King of Kings, all done. So now it's time to wipe that thing away completely and create the new heaven and the new earth wherein righteousness will dwell forever and ever. And there will be no pain, no death, no suffering. no wars, no rumors of wars. There will be complete peace as there has never been in the history of humanity. And so it says here, these are faithful and true words. And I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You think the first death is bad. When you go into the second death, that's going to last forever, because God is doing away with those things for the citizens of heaven. This is why we preach the good news that God loves you and he wants you to be a part of his family. You accept him. As many as received him, the Bible says, to them he gives the right or the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. He wants you in his family. He loves you. He wants to teach you and show you how to live, even in this world, this present world, with all of its problems. God wants you to be in his family and learn to walk by faith, not by sight. Let me say this, and I'm about done. I think my time's getting away. It gets away quick. It's amazing to me. I have so many things I want to share, but that's why I can understand how even in eternity, you and I will still be learning, even though we're citizens of heaven now. And I look forward to it because the learning will be a beautiful thing to be able to be taught by God and by others that have known him throughout the ages and have things to share that will enrich your life and make your life a better place. But in the meantime, the best thing you can do on earth is get into his word. His word has, we're going to find out things about his word we didn't know and never perceived while we were in the flesh. And I think that's going to be a wonderful thing. Amen. So let's move along. Time's almost gone. Almighty God has promised the ones who believe in his son, Jesus, the proven Messiah, that they will inherit an everlasting kingdom that will never pass away. We'll have no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering, and we'll be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. God's going to fill up everything you ever wondered about. Have you thought about that? Anything you ever wonder about, some stuff that blows my mind right now, you wonder, how does that work? How can that be? And God will answer all those questions in eternity. And he can start answering them right now. If you come into his family and believe, then he will make you a citizen of heaven and start to give you that wisdom right now as you continue on. And finally, I'd like to say God has secured an eternal kingdom for all who have believed in him throughout all of time, and has given absolute proof in time through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, so that all people who believe and trust in him alone can know that they are citizens of heaven who are now living ambassadors for Christ. Amen. An ambassador is a person like we have them. We send them to different countries to represent us in other countries. Ambassadors for Christ are very much like that. You and I, who believe Christ and are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, you have an ambassador status. And now you can represent Christ in all that you do. And pray about that, because it's not an easy transition. You know why? Because Paul put it this way, though I walk in the flesh, though we said this on the Wednesday Bible study, though we walk in the flesh, that means I'm in a living physical body, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are divinely powered by God, in other words, the Holy Spirit, to the destruction of fortresses. So we're trying to help people get out of the traps that the devil has made, get out of the traps their own flesh has entangled them in, and get them into the pure understanding of the pure knowledge and word of God, which will set you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We hope you want to be a citizen of heaven. And you can start right now. All you have to do is invite Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into your life. Realize he paid your bill in full and that he is ready to fill you with the Holy Spirit if you are ready to receive him. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we bless you today. We praise you. We're praying for those out there, Father, who are hurting. Some of them are confused. Lord God, we know the devil has trampled over so many of them And we ask you now, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you touch those who have heard the message of the good news and save somebody today, Lord. Comfort somebody who is already saved and is still going through some of the challenges of this fallen world. We pray for every person that's listening to my voice that they would know for sure that you have loved them with an everlasting love, that you have defeated every possible problem and situation and scenario that would ever pollute their circumstances, Father, in order to give them the pure mindset that you have done everything and you can do anything but fail. And help them today to know that they are children of God, that you will adopt them right now, and from this day forward, their life will never be the same again. They'll be citizens of heaven and adopted out of the fallen earth. We give you all the praise, Lord God, all the honor and all the glories. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the church say together, amen. Amen. We hope you got a good word from the message today. And we look to see you again on Wednesday, Lord willing. Any questions, or if you didn't see that chart anywhere and you'd like us to send it to you, send us an email. You can catch us online, as I mentioned, 24 hours a day at teachingbible.org. And we are St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church online, also sttmbc.org, sttmbc.org. You can get us online and catch up on things that we post there and here on Facebook also. So we thank God for you. We hope you have a blessed day, and we hope you did get a good word from the message. And may Jesus bless you right now. Amen.